exalt God, we're acknowledging that we need Him. We're acknowledging that we are not enough. We're acknowledging that there's nothing that we can do apart from Him. And you know what? There's nothing that I want to do apart from Him. God is so good. He is so powerful. He is so worthy. He is so present. And what I do is I like to pray that God like takes all the me out of me. I want to empty myself of myself so that there's room for God in me. I don't want me in me. I want God. I want His power. I want His provision. I want His love. I want His identity. God, I just pray that you would help us to refocus and exalt you with our lives. Exalt you today. There's a lot of noise, God. There's a lot of voices. We don't want to exalt those other things in our lives. We want to exalt you, God. We put you on the throne. We put our focus on you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. You guys can be seated. I did not want to stop worshiping. Well, I'm very excited to be here talking to you guys today. I'm always excited when I get to share what God has put on our team's heart. Today we are starting a new series called More Than Enough. More Than Enough. I love the songs we were singing. It's like so perfect. I'm not enough unless you come. And then another song said, God, I don't have anything except everything that you've given me. Isn't that a beautiful thing? Like I am so thankful. I'm so thankful that I don't have to rely on my strength, that I don't have to rely on my ability, that I don't have to rely on my performance. You know, God is enough. God is enough for you. God has enough for you. And God wants you to come to Him. I want to speak to somebody who maybe has been dealing with a lot of shame in your life. And maybe you don't go to God because you feel like you can't. But God wants you to come to Him. I hope that this series will encourage you and give you a revelation of the goodness of God and how much God loves you. Because that's what we really need in order for our lives to go where they need to go. We need a revelation of the goodness of God. We need a revelation that God has everything that we need. You know, we can go to so many different places for the things that we need. Sometimes I feel like as a people, we can be like source hoarders. Like so many sources, we just collect sources for the things in our life that we need. We go to our boyfriend or our girlfriend for our sense of happiness, and we go to our job, and that's our source for our finances, and we look to our house or the clothes that we wear or how many likes we have on Instagram as our sense of identity. Just where can I go to get the things that I need? And it's kind of a pursuit that doesn't produce, because the truth is that we can't fill ourselves to be satisfied with the things that the world has. God actually wants to be our source for everything we need. God's calling you to Him. God's calling you to stop looking to the left or to the right. God's calling you to stop looking at the people around you. God's looking for you to stop looking at your performance at your job or at school and how well you do to tell you how much you're worth. God is more than enough, and God has more than enough for you, no matter where you are in life. God wants to be your source for your identity, your hope, your sense of worth, even your solutions. You know, oftentimes we don't have the solutions. And the world definitely doesn't have the solutions. You know, with all this tragedy that's happening, when there's tragedy, I don't want to go on Facebook or I don't want to go on Instagram, because I just know that people are going to be, they're going to take any opportunity that they can, some people, to give their solution. We don't have the solution. Jesus is the solution. He is the answer. He's what we need. My ideas are going to take me so far, but God wants to give me his thoughts today. And you know what? God is so generous. Did you know that we serve a generous God? Not only is he more than enough, he wants to give you more than enough. He wants to give you everything that you need and more. Today, we're going to talk about how God wants to be generous and how God wants us to live generously. Let me read to you from Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall lack no good thing. The title of today's talk is The Generous Life. The Generous Life. Can you guys say that with me? The Generous Life. Let's try that one more time together. The Generous Life. It's so funny. Like, I've been here talking. I think this is my fourth or fifth time preaching on Sunday, and it's always funny to me because I feel like my dad gives me like the tough assignments, and then he like leaves town. I think the first time I spoke, he was like, could you talk to the people about how to experience miracles in their life? See ya. I was like, oh yeah, just miracles. That's cool. And then I think the second time was. You know, heart and soul, and he said, hey, could you talk to the people about serving? We need to get people serving at the church. And then he left town again. And this time, he I'm going to talk to you about generosity. Generosity. And he's in Israel. And maybe he's watching this right now. Thank you, Dad. I appreciate. Zoom up right on me. I appreciate. So sometimes we go to the world for what we need. Sometimes we're looking to things outside of God for what we need. And if you're like me, you can get caught up in this trap. But the truth is that we should not be looking to the world. Actually, you know, the church is supposed to be the solution to the world. And the solution can't be looking to others for what it needs. The world actually needs what we have more than we need what they have. You guys get what I'm saying? So we are actually supposed to be looking to God for him to fill us up so much that it pours out of us and starts solving problems around us. That's the whole purpose of more than enough. Today, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about how God wants to be generous to us, that God wants us to live generously, and I'm going to share with you guys some ways about how God wants to be generous, or how God wants us to live generously. So first, God wants to be generous to you. Did you know that? That God desires to give you what you need. God is not looking in your life for excuses. He's not looking for excuses in your life to take blessing from you. Some of us have a view of God because of the way we were raised or because nobody was there for us or whatever the reason. Some of us have a view of God that God is looking at our lives under a microscope and he's waiting for us to mess up. But gotcha, less blessing. Like he's got some like finite amount of blessing to divvy out, and he's got to make sure that only the really good people have blessing. That's not true. God is actually looking at your life, and he's looking for excuses to bless you, to provide for you, to give you what you want, to give you the desires of your heart, to give you everything that you need. God wants to be generous to you. A couple things that God wants to be generous to us in. The first thing that he wants to be generous to us in is love. You know, God loves you so much. God is calling out to you. He wants you to feel his love. He's drawing you to him. He is, and you know what? He loves you so much that if you're in this room right now, it might be because God has done everything that he can do to get you right in this room so that you could hear how much he loves you. God cares for you so much. He wants to fill you up with his love. He doesn't want you to have just enough to feel like you're going to be okay. He doesn't want you to feel just enough love that you can make it through the day. He wants you to be saturated in his love. He wants you to have a revelation of how much he loves you. You know, he sent his son down to die on a cross for you and me because he loves us so much. For God so loved the world. God wants to be generous to you with love. Today, I'm going to ask you to receive that generous love of his. Another thing that God wants to be generous to us with is grace. God wants to give you grace. If you're anything like me, you have a hard time accepting grace. You have a hard time. So anybody around me, they can say anything to me. They can do anything to me. They could spit in my face. Please don't do that. And I'll just be like, you know what? That's okay. Grace. I'll get mad, but grace, grace, grace. Anytime anybody messes up, grace, grace, grace. But some of us have such a hard time accepting grace ourselves. Everybody around us, they can do whatever, you know. Oh, that's okay. They're probably having a tough day. But you know what? As soon as we mess up, we beat ourselves up. I'm no good. I'm dirt. I'm lower than dirt. I'm not enough. I'll never get to where I can't believe I did that again. I can't believe I said that stupid thing. And we actually block the generosity of God. God wants you to allow yourself as much grace as you afford to other people. Did you know that? God is a gracious God. God wants you to accept his grace. Please don't block God's generosity towards you. Well, everybody else deserves it, but not me. Not actually, the truth is, none of us deserve it. That's the point of grace. The point of grace is none of us deserve it, but we serve a generous God. We serve a generous God, and sometimes I have to just reset myself. I beat myself up, and I'm talking negative to myself. I just have to stop myself, and I have to say, God, I'm sorry. I'm blocking your grace. I'm blocking your grace. And then God wants to be generous to us with truth. Now, come on. Don't tell me you want God to be generous to you with grace, but you don't want the truth. God wants to be generous to us with his truth. Not to condemn you, but to identify you. God wants to tell you who you are. God wants to tell you who you're supposed to be. And yes, God wants to tell you who you're not supposed to be. God doesn't want us to go searching in the world for our truth, for the world's truth. There is one truth. There is one way. There is one life. And God is that only way. God is that only way. There's going to be some people right in this room that you were probably raised to believe that there were many different paths. that there were many different gods, that there were many different ways. So I want to be sensitive to that because if that's the way you were raised, how could you know anything different? I want to tell you right here, right now, that Jesus, the God of the Bible, is the only way, the only truth, and the only life, and there is only one way to heaven. It's Jesus Christ. Jesus and our pursuit of truth outside of the world leaves us empty. And I can tell, I've met some people who they have pursuits outside of Jesus for who they're supposed to be. And you almost have to psych yourself up and like tell yourself over and over again, oh yeah, yeah, I'm happy, I'm convinced, but it's there's a little piece in there that's still kind of empty. And I want you to know right now that place in your heart can be full. You don't need 10 gods. God is more than enough. God is more than enough. You know, if there are 10 gods, those gods aren't actually God. There is a God, and he loves you so much, and he wants to give you grace. And he wants to give you truth. And he wants to give you your sense of identity. God also wants to be generous to us with provision. God wants to provide for all your needs. Did you know that God wants you to pay your bills? He wants you to be able to pay your rent. Even in the Bay Area, God has a way for you to pay your rent. I get it. I'm 31 years old. I have a little 4-year-old. I have a wife. And it's hard. It's hard here, man. It's tough. I remember when Chloe was born, both me and my wife were working full time. And now, so just so you guys know, I get it. I have 4 sources of income today. I have 4 sources of income. So I get it. I'm hustling too. So when Chloe was born, you know, she had to stop working. And so we lost about $1,000 a month. And over the course of months, our savings was going down and getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller. And at the same time, my prayers were getting louder and louder and louder and louder. And I said, God, why are you allowing this to happen? Why are you doing this to me? God, didn't you say that you would provide? God, didn't you say that you were the God of more than enough? God, didn't you say that you had everything that I needed? But the truth is that sometimes God has put on the inside of you the solution that you're looking for. And I think sometimes the things that God's provided for us are already on the inside of us. God, help me. I put it inside of you. I gave you the ability. I gave you the strength. I'm continuing to give you the strength. And we can say, okay, God, what have you put on the inside of me? Not God, I need money to fall from the sky, but God, help me to understand how you want me to do what you've called me to do. Because if he doesn't hand it to you, I think sometimes we're tempted. If it's not handed to us, then it must not be real. If it's not handed to us, it must not be out there. But God wants to provide. God wants to tell you how to make it. The answer is there. The answer is there. God, I pray that you would just open up right now, in this room, the answers. God, there are people in this room that are struggling. There are people in this room that are struggling, God. Give us the answers. What is it, God? I release provision right now in Jesus' mighty name. But why does God want to be so generous to us? God does love you. And I'm not going to dig into that point just yet. Just know, God loves you. It's okay. God loves you. But there's another reason why God wants to be generous to us. And it's because wherever you are in life, God also wants you to be generous. God is generous to us. Whatever season you're in, whatever trouble you're facing, whatever blocks you have in front of you, God wants us to be generous. You guys know that part of the reason that God gives to us is so that we can give out. Does that make sense? I think it's really easy to look at generosity and think, well, that's just for leaders, or I'm not really in a season of generosity. You know, we have seasons of generosity even here at this church. We're in one right now. But that's not to say that the rest of the time of the year, God has not called us to be generous. There aren't seasons of generosity, you understand? It's God has called us to live the generous life. And this talk is not just for leaders in ministry, although I don't think you can be a Christian for long and not be leading somebody. This talk will help you if you're a leader in ministry. If you're a parent leading a family, if you're leading a business, if you're a student and you influence the friends around you, if you're leading them, or if you're just leading yourself, this talk is for you. And there are so many ways. We're going to go over a couple of the ways that God wants us to be generous. And just so you know, there are so many ways that God calls us to be generous. We can only go over a few of them. Like one of the ways, it's not even my notes, but God calls us to be generous with our words. So often we think of money when we think about generosity. And it's true, that is a piece of it. But for some of us in this room, giving away a few dollars is the easiest thing in the world. And for some of us in this room, we don't have any dollars to give away, or we can feel that way. But you know, God is not actually looking for your resources. Did you know that? God does not need your resources. God is looking for our hearts. God is looking for what's on the inside of us. God is not some collector, some kind of debt collector that he's like, hey, I need your money so I can pay, you know. That's not what God is about. God calls us to live a generous life because he wants us to have a generous heart. He wants us to have a generous lifestyle. He wants it to be a part of who we are because it's a big part of who he is. And he wants us to be like him. So today, we're going to talk about three things. We're going to talk about our time, our talents, and our treasures. First, let's talk about how God wants us to be generous with our time and talent. Did you know that God has called you to be available to people? Did you know that God has called you to be available to unsaved people, to people who need help, to the disenfranchised? He's called you to be available to your kids. He's called you to be available to your family. He's called you to be available to the people around you. To be used by God, to not be above being used by God for people. God has given you time and God has given you talents. There is something on the inside of you that is for somebody else. And God has called you to be generous with that. God has called you to be generous with it. You know, so many of us, I feel like we want a platform for God to use us, but we don't want to go through the process. We want God to increase us and build us up, but we're not willing to go through the hard times, through the inconveniences. God, I want to be used by you for people, as long as I don't feel used by people. And God, I'll die for you until it gets like a little too hard, or I feel like a little burnt out. Then maybe I'll just take a quick year-long break. God, make me a bridge to you. But I just don't want to feel like I'm being walked all over. You know what I mean? God has called us to be available, to be, yes, used. Luke 6 says this, give your life away. You'll find life given back. But not merely given back. Given back with bonus and blessing. Giving, not getting, is the way. Generosity begets generosity. And please don't mishear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you shouldn't have boundaries. I think boundaries are a really important thing. I think that it's important for us to be stewards of our time, to be stewards of the things that God's given us, to make sure that the right amount of time is going to the right people. Make sure our families are covered. Make sure our kids are covered. Make sure our spouses are covered. But I think that we're in a place in our culture right now where we've taken boundaries and the concept of boundaries and we've put them on the throne. And maybe sometimes we might use them as a little bit of an excuse. Like, well, I gotta, you know, like imagine buying a big plot of land, acres and acres of beautiful land. And the first thing that you do is you put up a beautiful, strong fence around the edges of that land. Put a fence around it. Man, nobody's getting into this sucker. But you don't actually build anything on the inside of the fence. No houses, no structures. It's just you. It's just you. But so no one can live within those walls. No one can be sustained. No one can find rest. It's just you and your walls. You know, boundaries are meant to protect something that we're building. But if we're not building anything, then boundaries are pointless. Let me say it to you this way. Boundaries without building leads to lifelessness, leads to isolation. If you're creating strong boundaries for yourself, that's great. But what are those boundaries protecting? They should be protecting something that you're building for God. They should be protecting something that you're building for the kingdom of God. Our first priority should not be to make sure that we're safe from the world. And again, everything in balance. As we're building the kingdom of God, let's partner with God to help us know what are the right boundaries for my life. Is that okay? You guys are getting really quiet. I just want to make sure. I'm sure I'm talking to somebody. I'm sure I'm messing right in your business. I'm getting all up in there and I'm stirring it up and you're like, you know, looking at your husband and looking at your spouse and going, are you listening? You know, why don't you point yourself and go, this message is for me. This message is not for my spouse. This message is not for my kids. He's talking to me. He's talking to me. Okay? And when you start building for God, he starts blessing your life. When you're available to people, your life will be blessed. Some of the most blessed people I know are just people who are just givers. They're givers. They're not, if your whole life is about protecting what you already have, you can't grow. You can't multiply. The next thing that God wants us to be generous with is our treasure. A few weeks ago, I'll tell on myself. A few weeks ago, April and I, we went to this Hillsong concert in downtown San Jose. And it was like an amazing night. They did all these great songs. The Holy Spirit was there. Fire fell down. I was so pumped because I got to hear from one of my heroes, Brian Houston, and he's just like an amazing preacher, and you know, I just couldn't believe that I was there. The night was coming nearing the end, and someone got behind the mic and they started talking about a ministry, Compassion Ministry. I don't know, maybe probably some of you guys have heard about it. Compassion Ministry is a ministry where you can sponsor a child for $40 a month, and that child, you know, in third world countries, that child gets food, education, and medicine. And they said, okay, we're going to ask people to sponsor a child. And this guy himself, he said, I have 3 kids of my own. So me and my wife, we decided that for every kid that we have, we're going to sponsor a kid. And as he was talking and he showed this great video, these cute kids and, you know, they need help. And, And oh boy, I know what's coming in. And April's sitting right next to me and I'm trying not to look at her. And, you know, she's so much more generous than I am. And so she leans over to me and she says, "Hey, can we do this?" And I kid you not. I literally had the thought, "No, we can't do that. That's a gym membership." I know it's a good story because some of you are genuinely disgusted with that. You know what? I'm just a real person. So I said to her, you know, and April and I make decisions together. So she wasn't just going to put her hand in the air. She was going to lean over and I assume that she thought that I'd be like, "Absolutely." So she's like, "Yeah, that's what I thought you were going to do." So she leaned back very, you know, and the guy's up there, he's talking, and he's like, "Volunteers, come down the aisles," and they have envelopes, and each of these envelopes represents a child that needs medicine and food and education, and who wants to sponsor a child? And hands are going up all over the place. And I'm just trying my hardest not to make eye contact with any of these volunteers and not make eye contact with my wife and just stare off into the great darkness that is my selfishness. And so, okay, one more minute. I'm going to give you guys one more minute. Who wants to sponsor a child? And sure, I knew it was coming. My wife leans over to me and she says, "I want to do this." And so I put my hand in the air and I get an envelope. And it's like, it's so funny because I felt so convicted after that. Getting the envelope, it's like, I can do, there's something on the inside of me that says, I can't do this. There's something on the inside of us as people that says, we can't be generous. We can't give. We can't, but the truth is, we can. We can do this. We can be generous. I can live with a few less caramel macchiatos each month so that some kid can have food and medicine and education. Come on, Jordan, give me a break. Hey, can you guys give it up for my wife? I'm going to be blessed because she's much, much more generous than I am. We can do this. We can be generous. We can stretch ourselves. 2 Corinthians says this. We read it earlier in the service. Remember this. A farmer who plants only a few seeds will get a small crop. But the one who plants generously will get generously. You must each decide in your hearts how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. As the scriptures say, they share freely and give generously to the poor. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. For God is the one, check this out, for God is the one who provides seed for the farmer, then bread to eat. Then bread to eat. God actually, the first thing that he gives us is something to sow. The very first thing I'll give you yours. But the first thing that I'm going to give you is for them. Is for others, is for the hurting, for the people who can't provide for themselves. See, we have it backwards in our culture. We get that paycheck, and the first thing that we do is we eat, and we just make sure that we have enough, because even some of us have like a poverty mindset because of how we grew up and saying, I don't have enough, I never have enough. But the Holy Spirit wants to break that poverty thing in you right now today, because God is a God of more than enough. You do have enough. You have everything that you need. God has a storehouse with provision in it for you. But part of what we need to unlock that blessing, actually, if you're looking for blessing, the key to that blessing is by sowing into somebody else. He gives you seed to plant. Then he gives you bread to eat. An important question that I have, so we all want to receive more than enough, but are we giving more than enough? We want to receive more than enough, but are we giving more than enough? We've got to live generously towards God and towards people with our money. Oh yeah, we're going to talk about it, because I'm not the pastor, so I don't receive the emails. I don't got to read those things. Send them in. And let me say this not as a blanket statement, but just as a maybe statement, that maybe what you don't have is a representation of what you don't sow. Maybe what if we're lacking something, it's because we're not sowing into that area. Let me say it another way. What you don't submit to God, he cannot multiply. God, multiply my finances, but I just won't submit them to you. God, fill my heart with love, but I can't submit my heart to you. God, help me manage my time, but you just won't give any time to the things of God. God wants to give us everything that we need. God wants to take our little and multiply it. But there's no way that he can multiply it. You know, seed cannot produce a crop unless it's given to the ground. You can have all the seeds you want, but if you don't do the right things with those seeds, and not just plant them, but water them, keep giving, keep doing what you need to do to see a crop. God wants to provide everything you need. And I'm going to ask somebody in here to make a decision. You want, maybe your life has just felt so empty and void. Maybe your life just is not going in the direction that you want it to go or that you wish that it would go. And maybe that's because you haven't submitted your life to God yet. God, I talked to you earlier about how God wants to be generous to us because he loves us. God loves you so much. He loves every single person here so much. God cares for you. God wants a relationship with you. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We can't perform to achieve it. The only thing that we can do is respond and receive it. Receive the generosity. None of us really deserve it, but thank God that he isn't looking at our scorecard to give us this love. I want to ask you to make a decision today. Maybe you have never submitted your life to God. Maybe you're here saying, Jordan, you're talking about a God of more than enough, but I don't feel like I have anything. I don't know this God. Well, I want to give you an opportunity to know him, to surrender your life to him. We believe in the God of the Bible. I also want to give you an opportunity. Maybe at one point you were surrendering everything to him. You were submitted to him. You did have a relationship with him. But just over time, little by little, you started back at keeping all those things for yourself, keeping your life for yourself, keeping your heart for yourself. And you want to get back to that place with God. Can you just close your eyes just all across this room? And I just want to know, if you're in one of these two groups, if you've never given your life to God, can you just slip up your hands? And I just want to pray for you. Nobody's going to look around, but God wants to be that God of more than enough. If you're making that decision today, just slip your hand up. I see that hand in the back. God wants to be your everything. He wants to be your source. I see you up here in the front. God wants this moment right now to be the moment that you come to him. Thank you, God. I'm just going to say a prayer. You can put your hands down. I'm going to say a prayer. And if that was you, even if you want it, but just you couldn't bring yourself to put your hand up, I'm not going to ask you to repeat after me. I'm just going to say this prayer. And I want you to go, God, that's for me. That's me. God, I don't want to do my life without you anymore. I want you to be my God. I want you to be the God of more than enough for me. I want to receive your generous love. I open my heart to you, God. I choose this moment right now to come back to you. I confess that you're my Savior. I confess that you are my Lord. And I ask that you would come in to my heart and that you would be Lord of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. We had a couple people raise their hands. Can we let them know as a church that they just made the best decision of their lives? And can you guys just give it up for God and his goodness and how great he is? Love you guys.
Amen. And let's say thank you to Pastor Jordan. Was that awesome? Amen. If you would like his email, come see me afterwards. We'll make sure we get that to you there. Amen. Hey, listen, if you made a decision today to follow Christ, or you're a guest here, we have these cards that are in the seat pocket in front of you. Fill that out and drop that in the offering, or take it to our connection table out in front. We have information we'd like to send you. We'd like to get to know you. We have a lot of resources to help you in your walk with Christ, so avail yourself of that. Amen? And we're going to receive the tithe and offering here this morning. The ushers are going to come up. But again, everybody, pull out one of these Beyond cards, the pledge cards, in the seat back in front of you. You ask yourself, why are we asking for $150,000? Why is Pastor David doing that? I want you to picture with me the empty seat that's next to you. Someday, somebody's sitting in there that has received Christ, a transformed life. They didn't know where to go or how to step into the realm of God. And they're alone 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they're searching on their little mobile device churches that are near me, or I need help with suicide, or my marriage is falling apart, and they're using this. This is all they know to do. They don't know where to turn. And we know how here, when they do that, that gateway comes up, and then we point them to Jesus Christ. But we need a team. We need resources. That's why we're not ashamed to say, hey, we need $150,000, because it's not about us. It's about them. About the CEO out there, about the single mother, about the person that's looking in this area here for answers. That's why we want to do this here. And so everybody grab one of those, pray about it, and bring the offering next week or in a couple of weeks here. Pastor David will tell you some more. But Lord, right now, just bless this offering. Bless everybody that gives, and bless this day. Thank you that you are a God that's more than enough. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's worship. Amen. Amen. Well, in a few minutes, we're going to walk through those doors, or walk through the doors up in the front here. And we're going to go out into an area here that desperately needs Jesus Christ. Amen. And every one of us here, we can portray and tell them that we have a God that's more than enough. Aren't you glad for what Pastor Jordan shared this morning here? Let's give it up again for what he did and what he shared. But let's pray. Father, we just thank you that in your word, we know that you are the answer for every situation and circumstance. And Lord, we just speak blessing over the house of Gateway, over the Lord, the fellowship up in Santa Rosa, Clovis, Modesto, Pastor David, the team in Israel, the whole Gateway family worldwide. We ask right now that your grace would continue to rest upon us and display that you're a God that's more than enough. But Lord, we're also committing to be a generous people today. Lord, look for us to be giving, to be sharing, to, Lord, open up our hearts to be able to be a light to those around us. And we speak that in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. Listen, if you need prayer for anything else, we got prayer teams up on the front here. Healing, agreement, anything else. Otherwise, God bless you. Go have a great week.